from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Henry David Thoreau, famous 19th century essayist, had a lot of radical things to say about education, and here's one. He said, each second we live a new and unique moment in the universe. And what do we teach our children? That 2 plus 2 equals 4, and Paris is the capital of France. When are we going to teach them what they are? We should say to each of them, do you know who you are? You are a marvel. You are unique. In all the years that have passed, there's never been another child like you. Your legs, your arms, your clever fingers, the way you move. You may become a Shakespeare, a Michelangelo, a Beethoven. You have the capacity for anything. And the question we can ask as Jews is, why do we teach the children? Here are the mitzvot. There they are for every person to do exactly the same thing. Where is the role of the uniqueness of the individual? I'd like to suggest that there's one law that's sort of the catch-all for the idea of the uniqueness of each individual, and that is the idea of vows. When it comes to the vow, someone making a neder, there you see the individualism of the person expressed. Suddenly, instead of God asking you what he wants from you, the person making the vow says, this is what I want to do. And now God, how do you respond to that? I'm going to give this to you. Could you please, in response, or perhaps even more strongly, you must, in response, grant my wish. I have made a vow. The question is, where is the you in the Judaism? Where is you in your Judaism? And what I'd like to suggest is if we look more carefully, the idea of vows, we can see where the individualism comes in the realm of the mitzvot. So in order to appreciate this, we need to look at stories about vows. So let's look at two biblical scenes about vows. Scene number one, Yiftach. Jephthah, king of the judge of Israel in the period of the judges, it's sort of the Wild West of Judaism. There's no king. Everyone's doing whatever they feel like doing. Again, the great individualism. Ish kol yashar beinav yaseh. Everyone does what they want. And what does Yiftach do? Well, he's worried. People of Ammon and tribe in eastern Israel, they're very strong. And he has to fight them. It's his challenge to reclaim Israel from their hands. So he's worried about dying in battle. So he says, God, if I can come home in peace, in battle, then whoever comes out of my doors, I'll give them to God. Of course, we know what happens. His beloved daughter, his only child, comes out of the doors of his home, greeting him with tupim umcholot. She has bells on. She's so excited to go welcome her victorious father home from battle. And now, foolish Yiftach thinks that he has to somehow offer her to God. We don't know what happens to her. Maybe he actually offers her some kind of sacrifice. So here we have a case of a very heartfelt prayer. It's him. It's exactly what he needs at that moment. It's not about what God asked him to do. He needs victory in battle. He needs to come home safely. And he's willing to offer his most unique gift, whatever comes out of his house. And yet, Yiftach is an example of a vow gone awry, because this vow is against the will of God. He should have annulled the vow, said the rabbis. But he didn't. He didn't understand that yes, you want to have your individualism, but that individualism can't be against God. So we have to turn to case number two, scene number two, Chana. Chana, the mother of Samuel, the mother of one of the greatest prophets of all times, she turns to God in her great distress. She has no children. Her husband doesn't understand her. Her co-wife is taunting her all the time. She so wants a child, so she comes to the temple and she prays and cries. And finally she makes a vow. And she says, Uzkartani lo tishkach ramatecha, if you could remember your maidservant and not forget me, v'natata lamatcha zera nashim, you could give your maidservant a male child, give me a son. I'll give him to God all the days of his life. I will bring him to the temple. And that's what she did. This is the most heartfelt prayer. A woman who's pouring her heart out. A woman looks drunk the way she's praying. She's moving her lips. No one knows what she's saying. She's making a private vow to God. It's the most heartfelt thing you could imagine. And here's the brilliance of her vow. You see, as Rabbi Cook pointed out, first chief rabbi, Ashkenazic chief rabbi of Israel pointed out, a vow is such an amazing expression of the human desire to be close to God. And yet, the vow could somehow negate the normative laws of the Torah. It could say, well, the vows are what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. I vow to do it. But the mitzvot that God wants me to do, forget about it. But here's the brilliance of Hannah. She says, what do you want from me, God? You want me to come to the temple? You want the temple rules to be followed? You want the rules of the sacrifices and the offerings and the guarding of the temple and the sanctuary and the tabernacle in Shiloh to be proper? My son will be in charge of that. He's going to be there. He's going to be a man of the temple. But that's not what I want. I want a son. Give me a son, and I will give that son to your will and to your worship. This is the secret of Judaism. It's mentioned in Pirkei Avot. Aser Ritzono Kirtzonecha. Make God's will your will. She figured out that there's a confluence between what God wants and what she wants. God wants the Jews to be saved. God wants the Jews to follow the Torah. She's offering a son who will help the Jews be saved. She was offering a son who will help Jews follow the Torah. Jews come closer to God. Jews repent. She's going to have Shmuel, who's going to be a great leader of Israel on the level of Moses himself. She found that connection between God and what she wants. So this is what I call do you. She found the idea that you could do your own thing, but you want to link it up with Judaism. Each one of us has our own talents, abilities, inclinations, things we love to do. There is a link between that and what Judaism has to offer. There's so much inside Judaism, whether it's the intellectual, whether it's the creative, whether it's the artistic, whether it's the musical, whether it's volunteering, whether it's an element of kindness, whether it's social. There are so many elements within the Torah, within mitzvot, within Judaism, within shul life, synagogue life. It's all there. We have to find that meeting point between my personal needs and what the Torah is all about. When we make that link, we make that connection, as Hannah did, it's magic. That moment is magic when the two line up. It's like the alignment of all the stars. And when that happens, we've truly found one of the great secrets of Judaism. Do you. Do it your way. How do we know that this is indeed one of the major principles of the Torah? That you should do your thing. Because the Rambam says there's a ikar gadol, there's a major principle in the Torah. It's mentioned in his commentary to Makot at the end of Tractate Makot. And although it's not listed in the 13 principles of faith, we'll call it sort of one of the secrets of Judaism, well-kept secrets, that this is an ikar, it's a major principle in Judaism, that there are so many mitzvot. You know why we have so many mitzvot? Because with so many mitzvot, there's bound to be one that's just for you, and you can do it just right. And when you get it right, God will send you, shower you with great blessings in this world and especially in the next world. You'll be a ben olam haba, person of the next world. Because he knows you can get it right. He knows that there's something in you that links up with something in the Torah. And when it does, it's going to be an explosion. It's going to be magic. It's going to be that perfect platonic ideal of what God envisioned for the Torah. And it's going to be you. It's going to be you, doing what you want to do. Because there is that connection between what you want to do. You with your godly soul, there's something inside you that really wants to do exactly what God wants you to do. And when we can link these two things up, indeed, we will have discovered one of the great secrets of Judaism, do you. I want to thank Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. We want to thank the Siegel family, Erica Siegel, for sponsoring these lectures. Memory of her beloved parents and also her brother who perished in the Holocaust around this time of year on Simchat Torah. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.